Your dial is tuned to Talk Radio 1350 WNIS, where you always get instant information, provocative conversation, the sharing of ideas. That's what Talk Radio is all about. Talk Radio is
Joe Postove.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It's 9:07. Joe Postove here for the next hour. You know, I find myself in an unusual position today. Usually I am your antagonist. Usually I take one side or the other, and today to a certain extent I will, but I will probably be more in the role of a referee today, the arbiter, the person in the middle, because we are going to have a debate. Probably nothing more emotional. Sometimes it overshadowed the purpose for the recent General Assembly session this past September, last month. That session was for road funding, but it seems we talked almost as much about the lottery on this radio station as we did about funding for roads in Virginia. Our guest on my left this morning is Delegate Billy O'Brien, a man for the last 5 or 6 years, has every year proposed one lottery bill or the other. And on my right is the Reverend D. Pendley, Dr. D. Pendley, with the Lynn Haven Methodist Church, also with Virginians Against State-Sponsored Gambling. He, of course, is opposed to a state lottery. We want to hear from you this morning as well, and we're going to talk a little bit, then we're going to get to your phone calls a little bit later. If you want to get in on the line now and ask questions or make comments of Delegate O'Brien or Dr. Pendley, you are invited. 857-1350, 874-1350. Let me read you this letter that was in the Virginian Pilot the other day. It was a letter to the editor from a man named J. Terry Kelly. To the editor. Thomas Jefferson probably turned over in his grave twice when the General Assembly refused to allow the people of Virginia to express their wishes regarding a state lottery. This means that our representatives are not representing us at all. They are representing those special groups that exert pressure or spend enough money to influence their votes. How long before we, the people, get the rights we were guaranteed a couple of hundred years ago? How long before we, the people, get some honest politicians in our state and federal government? That's the reason I read that letter, is because I think it's an indication of the emotion that surrounds the lottery issue. When we come back, Billy O'Brien and Dr. D. Pendley on Talk Radio. And 9:12 now on Talk Radio, Joe Postove back. We're talking about the lottery this morning, lottery for Virginia. And Billy O'Brien and Dr. D. Pendley are my guests. Good morning, gentlemen. Glad to have you both here.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Delegate O'Brien, if we can. Very basic question, one we've covered before, but one that needs to be answered again. Why would a lottery be a good idea for Virginia?
Well, I think it's an alternative source for revenue. For example, Maryland last year took in $323 million in revenue, and it's estimated that about 30% of that came out of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we've just gone through a session up in Richmond where we raised three different taxes. And I mean, it's not a way to reduce taxes, but it's a way to restrict another tax increase.
It's a way to forestall future tax increases?
Forestall future tax increases.
Dr. Pendley, representative of the Virginians Against State-Sponsored Gambling, basically, what is your objection to what sounds like a very reasonable idea?
I object to the lottery primarily because it is socially destructive. It hurts people. It destroys lives. It corrupts public officials. The lottery is a get-rich-quick scheme for the state. And like most get-rich-quick schemes, it has a lot of built-in and secret faults. It is very destructive. I'd like to tell you a story this morning. Stories of a woman named Valerie. This is a true story. Valerie lives in Michigan. Valerie began gambling on the lottery. Valerie's husband made a salary of about $20,000, but that wasn't sufficient to feed her gambling in the Michigan State Lottery. She began to write bad checks. She began to steal in various ways. She ultimately cashed bad checks amounting to $250,000 in her living room at the end of this all, in her kitchen. They found piles and piles, literally hundreds of thousands of Michigan State Lottery tickets, worthless tickets. Her husband lost his job. They lost their home. She is now in prison for a 14-year term. District Judge Horace Gilmore, who sentenced her, said at the end of her trial, "I think that states should seriously begin to reconsider the whole lottery business."
Do you think most people are potentially like that woman? Most people could end up like Valerie?
When you say most people, clearly everyone. Valerie was a compulsive gambler.
You could use any substance in the world and find somebody that has abused it and has overused it and ended up like somebody like Valerie. Couldn't you say that? You could even make that argument with something as benign as cottage cheese, Doctor, probably.
Hardly. Gambling and various other things of that similar sort are referred to as vices. They're referred to as vices because they are things that are tend to get people caught in compulsive use, drug abuse, for example, drinking. These are vices that the state usually controls in various ways. We have an Alcohol Beverage Control Commission. We supposedly don't push alcohol in our state. We try to control its use. A state lottery is not allowing people to gamble freely. It is pushing that vice on people. Heavy advertising, pushing, involving people, dragging more and more people into gambling.
I'd like to get Mr. O'Brien's... Well,
I just answer your question first? You asked me how many people are potential. Obviously, everyone is not a potential compulsive gambler. According to the National Council on Compulsive Gambling, approximately 2% of the population is a potential compulsive gambler. That is many thousands of people in the state of Virginia. Now, each one of those people adversely affects in a very serious way from 10 to 20 other people in very serious ways. Their compulsive gambling, just as an alcoholic very seriously affects his or her family, etc. So the potential number of people adversely affected by a 2% compulsive gambling population is immense. For example...
Well, now, let me get some response from Mr. O'Brien here, because you've said some very important things, some very challenging statements. Mr. O'Brien, a response to Dr. Pendley.
Well, research shows that state lotteries are incapable of satisfying the needs of a compulsive gambler because of the fact that the lotteries are too slow. The addicted gambler needs exciting action and immediate relief to fulfill the euphoria they crave in the habits of horse racing, casino games, illegal sports betting, and stock options. I would say in the case of the lady that he mentioned, that a gambler knows the odds on a lottery are, you've got about as much chance of winning a lottery as you've got being struck by lightning eight times. But I would say to the gentleman that there are no losing tickets. They're all winning tickets. For example, we all know the need to fix up Suicide Strip. In my plan this past session, anyone who bought a losing lottery ticket would help fix Suicide Strip. So that's my answer to that situation.
Okay, we have open lines as well if you want to get in this morning. 857-1350. 874-1350. Is your point, Dr. Pendley, the title of your organization is Virginians Against State-Sponsored Gambling. Are you saying that when the state is involved in an activity, the state therefore sanctions it and somehow gives their approval?
That's true, but I want to
respond. If that's true, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the state ought to close its ABC stores because of all the problems that come from alcoholism and overindulgence in alcohol and all the potential problems that extend from that.
Again, that's a matter of control, not promotion. But I want to respond directly to something Delegate O'Brien said.
It's a matter of sanction, though. If the state operates ABC stores, the state is sanctioning drinking. And that, I think, is in its own way a promotion, wouldn't you say?
No, I wouldn't really say that. I really don't want to debate drinking today. Our objective is to talk about the lottery. And Delegate O'Brien said something that he presented as fact that simply is not fact. He said that lotteries are not a problem with compulsive gambling. Simply not true. His argument primarily on things that are published in pro-lottery magazines and journals. For example, there's an article, Do Lotteries Increase Compulsive Gambling, which he and some of his supporters sent around at the General Assembly a couple of years ago. In that, a man named Custer, who is an expert on this, is quoted as saying what Delegate O'Brien just said. I called the man yesterday. He says he was misquoted in that article, and that is not true. All he was saying is we do not have enough research on that issue. I called the director of the National Council on Compulsive Gambling, who said directly all gambling is addictive. I talked to the leader of the Compulsive Gamblers Group here in Virginia last week. This person said you will find everybody spending their last dime on the lottery.
Now, Dr. Pendley, you are consistently using worst case scenarios here, and it's often done by people that want to violate the rights of others. They use the case of child pornography when they want to proscribe Playboy magazine. They use the case of the worst kind of heroin addiction when they want to throw marijuana users in jail for 10 or 20 years. So you're using the worst case scenario. If I just want to buy a lottery ticket, I want to take a chance. Most people are like me. They're not going to spend all their money on it. Wouldn't you say it's elitist paternalism, a phrase that Mr. O'Brien has used, a phrase that's been used? Don't you think people in Richmond, our legislators, ought to hear the voice of the people when they say, hey, give us a chance. Why do you think so little of us that we're going to make fools of ourselves in overindulgence in a proposed state lottery?
Provide for the needs and protection of its people. It does not exist to prey on the weaknesses of its people. That's exactly what the lottery does. It takes people's weaknesses and abuses people.
Mr. O'Brien, is that true?
Well, I don't think that's true. And I think that, like the gentleman said in the editorial, Thomas Jefferson would turn over in his grave.
Lottery was used to finance part of the Revolutionary War, as a matter of fact.
The Virginia Company used it. In fact, George Washington bought the first ticket on a lottery to build the nation's capital. He didn't win the lottery, but they named the city after him. What I'd say to that statement about the government is there to protect the people, that is a sort of intellectual arrogance that's unworthy of the state of Virginia that produced people like Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and Patrick Henry. They believed that ordinary people were perfectly capable of exercising good judgment and good sense most of the time, given the opportunity to do so at the ballot box. And that's all I'm asking. If the people of this Commonwealth are allowed to vote on this subject and they voted no, I will never mention it again.
Dr. Pendley, if the legislators in Richmond, our 100 senators, our 100 delegates, and our 40 senators have the good judgment and the good sense to make laws that we should obey and adhere to every day of our lives, don't you think the people that send those people to Richmond have enough sense whether or not they want to have a lottery, whether or not they should be able to make that decision?
I think people have a lot of good sense, but people need to be informed. And unfortunately, people are not informed on this issue because all of the information they get comes from the promotional side. We hear all of this good news about million-dollar winners and all of these exciting things going on, But we don't hear the reports of people like Valerie. I suspect that your listeners this morning never heard of her until I mentioned that story this morning. We don't hear about those things going on in other states.
Do you think the law ought to be based on one or two examples, one or two worst-case scenarios, when the overwhelming majority of people that live in states that have lotteries live life every day to the fullest and aren't affected in the least?
Do you think the law should be based on allowing whatever can make money? Now, the state can make money selling drugs. We have decided that that is a destructive substance. It's dangerous for a minority of people. Not everybody takes drugs.
Mr. O'Brien, do you have any comment on the correlation between drugs and the lottery?
Well,
does that bother you at all? I suppose it would bother some people that promote the lottery.
I am not in favor of Virginia going into selling drugs, just as I'm not in favor of Virginia going into parimutuel betting or casino gambling. Let me give you an example. If we had two parimutuel tracks in the state of Virginia, we'd only raise $2 million. And that $2 million would be needed to sophisticate our police force to monitor. The lottery is a form of gambling, but it's different in three ways. It's inexpensive to administer. There's very little investment by the individual. People don't spend their rent money or their food money, maybe a dollar or two a week. That's the experience of 22 states that have it. And the lottery system is easily insulated from the inevitable pressures that organized crime and politics exert on gambling. For example, we already have a lottery in the Commonwealth. We have a $50 million a year illegal numbers game in Richmond. It's just a matter of deciding who's to benefit, the crooks or the state. For example, the lottery in Fairfax, a huge county in Northern Virginia, it's almost non-existent due to the proximity of the Maryland and D.C. lottery. So it's a deterrent to crime.
I think it's an important point. We're going to take a call in a moment. It's an important point to remember that 42% of the people that play the District of Columbia lottery come from either Maryland or Virginia, money going out of the state. And good morning. You're on Talk Radio with Dr. Pendley and Mr. O'Brien.
Good morning, Joe.
Hi.
Very
quickly, need your question.
Very quickly. What I want to know is, where do they find the Valeries? Ordinarily, these same Valeries would be sitting all day long playing cards. And I just think that the only referendum we should have is to start the darn lottery and let the voters decide, the lottery players decide as far as referendum. Either we make money or we don't. That's the name of the game.
Okay, where do you find the Valeries of the world that have fallen prey to lotteries?
2% of the population.
Any comment? Are you done?
I got a comment as far as that's concerned. These people are compulsive gamblers, and the only answer to them is psychiatric care. I'm not responsible for them and their problem, unless it's going to affect my Blue Cross.
That's a good point. Do you think that we all ought to bear the weight of everybody's problems, because 2% are overindulging in the lottery, 2% are alcoholics, 2% use their guns in a wrong manner, 2% of the population can do anything, Dr. Pendley. Why should people like me, who are law-abiding, innocent, peaceful people, bear the weight of what they've done?
The answer is, of course, you do bear the weight. The problem is you can't get away from it. The problem is when our society establishes situations that create people like this, you're going to bear the weight. 40% of the embezzlement in this country. If you're a businessman, whether you want to bear the weight or not, you're going to find that white-collar crime, robbery of your business by your own employees is going to increase as gambling increases. And
we have to take a break. We're going into news on the half hour. We'll be back. Everybody will have a chance to say their piece this morning. I guarantee you that. Dr. D. Pendley with the Virginians Against State-Sponsored Gambling and Billy O'Brien, my guest. We're debating the lottery this Tuesday morning.
WNIS 1350 Talk Radio. Direct connection.
A round of no comments on Nicaraguan claims. and a judge faces a trial from the other side. With Mutual News, I'm Fred Lowry. America's embassies in Central America are saying nothing. The Pentagon has issued a no comment, and White House Chief of Staff Reagan says, I know nothing. The question surrounds the reported shooting down of a rebel supply plane with four Americans aboard in Nicaragua. According to the Sandinistas, three of the alleged Americans were killed. The fourth is reportedly claiming he is a U.S. military advisor. A Nicaraguan foreign ministry spokesman says the incident brings his country and the U.S. closer to a direct confrontation. The impeachment trial of federal judge Harry Claiborne begins within the hour in the U.S. Senate. Claiborne, convicted of tax evasion, has refused to step down. At least 300 people have died since the start of emergency rule June 12th in South Africa. Despite that, according to reporter Cheryl Rain in Johannesburg, the government claims violence is subsiding.
Pretoria says 28 people died in the month of September. This is the lowest figure since February 1985 and far lower than the June death toll this year of 161. Reports of violence are still being received daily, and the government itself has admitted that the revolutionary climate is still intense in certain regions. Cheryl Rain for Mutual News, Johannesburg.
Government officials in Bermuda have assured residents of that island they're in no danger of radioactive pollution, despite yesterday's sinking of a nuclear-powered Russian submarine. Defense analyst James Westwood says the U.S. government means it when it says it will not attempt to retrieve the sub for intelligence purposes.
It's not possible to get humans to work at that depth with current technology. I think the depth there just precludes any kind of recovery operation, particularly in a short period of time.
Analysts reason the Soviet submarine is 25 years old and any maps or vital information on board undoubtedly were removed. One-time World Boxing Association champion Michael Doakes is under arrest in Las Vegas. Doakes is accused of drug trafficking. Fred Lowry, Mutual News.
Rex Scribner here, and we're hoping to talk with the typical person in the street about the new wide-carriage IBM ProPrinter XL. You, sir.
Who, me?
Yeah, you seem to be a typical person in the street. Can we ask your opinion of the new wide-carriage IBM ProPrinter XL?
Certainly. It is the wide-carriage version of the IBM ProPrinter, which is the versatile printer made for personal computers.
You certainly seem to be well informed about the ProPrinter XL.
Oh, sure, it's all here in this script you gave me before you went on the air.
Oh, that's about all the time we have.
Next, I'm supposed to say something about it being perfect for printing spreadsheets, flowcharts.
Yeah, that'll do.
Then I'm supposed to talk about its special feature that lets you print envelopes and single sheets without having to take the computer paper out.
Now, this is Rex Scribner, returning you to our studio.
I didn't get in the part about this IBM ProPrinter XL selling for less than $800, or...
For the authorized IBM dealer nearest you, call 1-800-IBM-2468 or contact your IBM marketing representative. IBM Personal Printers for the finishing touch.
Checking now the official three-day forecast from the National Weather Service. Starting with this morning, we're looking for sunny and cooler today. Highs in the mid-60s. Clear and quite cool tonight. Look for a low in the mid to the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a little warmer. Highs in the low 70s. And Thursday's outlook, sunny, highs in the 70s. Patrick Henry on the peninsula now at 61. Norfolk International Airport, it's partly cloudy now at 61 degrees. I'm 9:35 on Talk Radio. We're debating the lottery this morning with Billy O'Brien, delegate from Virginia Beach, man who has proposed the lottery several times in the last 5 or 6 years. And on my right, Dr. D. Pendling of the Virginians Against State-Sponsored Gambling. And we are going to go to your calls right now. Good morning. You're on Talk Radio.
Good morning, Joe.
Hi.
I just want to say a few things. First, like the other gentleman said, people that want to gamble are going to gamble. There's all kinds of means out there. Second, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and I give that state at least $6 a week, every week, every year, and play their lottery up there. And I have two elderly parents up there. And
it's
I like
it's to a good cause, isn't it?
It sure is. I have two elderly parents up there in their mid to late 80s, and they get all their prescriptions for approximately $2 to $3 a piece. The entire state lottery money up there goes to support the elderly. In major cities like Philadelphia, there's free public transportation. In small rural areas like me, they give the elderly under a certain income level spending money at Christmas time. It does a lot of good, And I wish that all your listeners would call their state representatives like I did last week and listen to them backpedal.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the call. Dr. Penley, most people in the state believe we have very serious, very severe. Billy O'Brien agrees with this because he voted for the road program. We have very severe road needs in this state. Now, taxation is something we live with. Nothing other than death or taxes is certain. Those are the two things that are certain, and that Virginia will not get a lottery this year. That's the other thing. But taxation is something we live with. However, it is theft. It is taking from somebody that they don't necessarily want to give. It is spending somebody else's money with or without their permission in one or another instance. We find that taxation in our society is something very necessary, something we have to live with. But here we have an opportunity for a voluntary tax, an opportunity for people to say yes or no based on their individual inclinations. Now, isn't that preferable to more of the other kind, more of the involuntary, more of the theft nature?
I don't look upon taxes as theft.
Many people do, whether or not it's necessary or not. It's very, hey, I'm a radical, and I'm the only one sitting in this room this morning, but I indeed am, and I think that theft, taxation is indeed theft, no matter how much we need it, no matter how much we're going to have to live with it for the rest of everyone's life. But don't you think, whatever you think of taxation, don't you think a voluntary application is better? A voluntary tax, that's what a lottery is.
A lottery is the most regressive form of taxation that's ever been devised. This has been firmly and conclusively proven by many studies, numerous studies. The most recently reported in the August 1986 edition of the Public Administration Review. They quote some approximately 20 sources of noted studies that have proven a lottery is twice as regressive. That means it impacts the poorest segment of society twice as hard as the sales tax does, which is normally considered a regressive tax.
That's what we hear a lot about the poor when we talk about the lottery. We hear about the impact on the poor. Do you think that the poor have the right to spend their money the way they choose? Do you think that by virtue of the fact that somebody is poor, that they are necessarily stupid and don't know how to make choices?
No, I certainly don't think that. But I believe that seductive advertising is unfair to these people. The lottery people are not honest in what they say. For example, the Wall Street Journal, in studying and reporting on the way that lotteries present themselves, proved conclusively that it's really deceptive advertising. They end their statement about all of this by saying this: "It is ironic that today even the sleaziest moneylender is not permitted to do the things that state lotteries do as a matter of routine."
Mr. O'Brien?
Yes, I'd kind of like, that's a myth that the poor buy a disproportionate number of lottery tickets. In 22 states, and I've got a report right here, it says that 85% of the people who participate in this so-called voluntary tax make between $18,000 and $56,000 a year. So it does not transgress on the poor. And if it did, to me that's a view of elitist paternalism that has no place in this commonwealth. If I thought that people would go out and spend the rent money and the food money on this, I wouldn't attempt to introduce the bill. But that's not been the case in other states.
We're going to get to some calls. Dr. Pendley, what do you think about bingo?
I think bingo is a tragic thing in our state as well. It was introduced to allow charitable organizations to try to raise a little funds. It has turned into a major gambling industry. The little skating rink where my youth group used to go to skate has now been renovated into a major bingo hall. I know of a woman in Richmond who spends on a meager income $300 to $400 a week playing bingo games.
And she'd do that whether or not it was for a corporation, whether or not it was for a bingo company, or whether or not it was in the local Catholic church. Where people play bingo makes little difference to them. Do you think bingo ought to be made illegal?
I think it should be severely restricted from what it is now. Incidentally, the Catholic bishop in Richmond has said he thinks the Catholic churches should stop using bingo as a means of fundraising.
Good morning. You're on Talk Radio with Dee Pendley and Billy O'Brien.
Good morning, Joe.
Hi.
I wanted to ask, is it Dr. Pendley?
Yes, it is.
Dr. Pendley, I can appreciate his anecdotal information that he's provided us regarding the lottery, but as far as hard facts, you've only given us a couple. You mentioned before white-collar crime would increase if the lottery were instituted. After I hang up, I'd like to hear some replies to that particular subject. And regarding alcohol in the state of Virginia, you mentioned that 2% of the people are potential abusers of the lottery. They would be potential gamblers who would take it to the extreme. Being that over 5% of Virginians currently are alcoholic, how can you possibly say that the state of Virginia is not sanctioning an even worse evil by running the ABC stores, which is in fact the only place in the state of Virginia where a person can buy hard liquor? I don't know why you don't make a bigger deal of trying to outlaw liquor in the state of Virginia.
Every time somebody wants to buy a fifth, they get a look at the state seal.
That's right.
Yep. Okay, Dr. Pendley, your response to that?
Well, I'm certainly not trying to push alcohol on people, but again, the ABC system is alcohol beverage control. That's what it's called,
but it's indeed promotion. When the state is involved in selling a substance, it can be called nothing but promotion.
They don't advertise that substance. They don't push that substance, hopefully. Now sometimes they get kind of close to that, and they shouldn't be allowed to. They should not be allowed to do that.
Do you think they ought to be out of the business? Do you think the alcohol beverages should be sold by private entrepreneurs?
No, because that would become out of control more than it is under the control. The difference between the state in the alcohol business and the state in the gambling business is the issue of promotion.
Okay, don't want to get bogged down in the question of alcohol this morning. That indeed is another program. Mr. O'Brien.
Joe, let me just say, Delegate Billy Robinson made a very astute observation in the House when a lot of the members of the House were speaking on how they wanted to help protect the poor and the minorities by not allowing them to vote on this issue. He said that he's always glad to see these people when they're trying to protect something that was going to hurt the poor and minorities. But when he presented something that would help the poor and the minorities, they couldn't be found.
One of the few things that the poor and minorities have is hope, and maybe a lottery, if nothing else, offers a little hope. We're going to take some more calls in just a moment. Why don't we go to the peninsula right now? Good morning. You're on Talk Radio.
I'm calling from Hampton.
Yeah, good morning. What's your question?
Okay, I just want to touch lightly on this drinking. As far as state not promoting drinking, I saw an ad in a local paper, Jack Daniels, on sale. This store is owned by the state of Virginia, so this ain't promoting. I don't know what it is.
Does the state of Virginia promote drinking? I don't know. Perhaps they advertise once in a while. We don't want to get bogged down in that question. Thank you very much. Good morning. You're on Talk Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. You hit on bingo. I won't dwell on that. But what about these churches that have the rallies and the raffles? Isn't that a form of gambling? That's all I have to say. I'll hang up and wait for an answer.
Dr. Pendley?
Yeah, that's a form of gambling.
Is gambling immoral?
A gambling.
What does the Bible say about gambling? You, as the Reverend of the Lynn Haven Methodist Church, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
The Bible says very little directly about gambling. It says a lot about loving our neighbor as ourself and being concerned about things that hurt people. Church opposition to gambling is on that basis, that it is destructive, that it hurts people, that it brings crime, that it hurts people's lives, destroys families, and all ministers have seen it.
Then gambling, to be consistent, gambling in all of its manifestations ought to be illegal, wouldn't you say? Including all bingo. Now, you said the Catholic bishop, one Catholic bishop came out and said that the Catholic Church ought to do away with bingo for fundraising, but what does Dr. D. Pendley have to say about that?
Well, I'm not going to stand up and support bingo. It's not really the issue before us, however.
Well, it's an inconsistent stand if you support bingo and
I
are postal honorary.
I don't support bingo.
Well, do you think it ought to be illegal?
I think it would probably be a good idea.
You think the state ought to tax it to 20% of the gross receipts?
Why not? I think if that's what you're proposing, I think that'd be a good idea. Might as well the state get something out of bingo if we're going to keep it.
I had that bill in last year, by the way. That's
one place we can agree, Billy.
I was just going to take off the skim on the loose bookkeeping on bingo. That's what they estimate the skim, 20%.
If you could tax the underground numbers game, how much money would we get there?
It's multi-million-dollar business in Norfolk and in Richmond.
My mother told me a story that when she was a very young girl in Suffolk, Virginia, her job was, she didn't know exactly what her job was, but she knows that she had big pockets, and she used to carry pieces of papers from her uncle's store to her father's store. And finally, when she was a grown-up, she found out, indeed, she was a numbers runner at the age of 5 in Suffolk, Virginia.
Let me say something about that. People sometimes imagine that by instituting lotteries, state-run lotteries, that you'll do away with that. Just the opposite is true. That is to say, it has been found that illegal gambling increases wherever any form of gambling is legalized. All that seems to happen, and this study I quoted to you a few minutes ago that's recently in Public Administration Review, indicates this, and the National Commission on the Review of National Gambling Policy indicates that there is a doubling of illegal gambling in places that have moved to a position of having no legal gambling to allowing three various kinds of legal gambling in their state, doubling.
Do you have any idea why that happens, Doctor?
I suspect more gamblers are created. Also, the case is true that illegal gambling in many ways is much more attractive than legal gambling. You don't have to pay any taxes when you win the numbers game that's illegal.
Of course, you don't win anything approaching what you would win on the lottery when you win on the numbers.
But you also get credit. And you can also gamble over the phone illegally. Lots of things more attractive in illegal gambling.
Mr. O'Brien, what about the proposition that he's made?
I somewhat disagree with the doctor in most instances on what he just said. And let me give you an example. This is the Senate Finance Committee's report on the lottery. And it says, in Fairfax, the Vice Narcotics Division commander links the almost non-existent of numbers to potential players, easy access to Maryland and D.C. lotteries. They don't have an illegal numbers game in Northern Virginia.
How about D.C.?
I'm sure they got it there, but I'm just giving you Northern Virginia's example.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. Billy O'Brien is on my left. D. Pendley is on my right. I don't mean to make anything of that. It's just how it happened this morning. Let me read you a list of states, and these are the states that currently have a lottery. New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Maryland, Illinois, Ohio, Maine, Rhode Island, Delaware, Vermont, Arizona, District of Columbia, Washington, Colorado, California, Oregon, Iowa, Missouri, West Virginia, and 9 other states will be considering a lottery either this year or next year. This is Talk Radio 1350 WNIS. I'm Joe Postov, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1350 WNIS.
It's 9:52 on Talk Radio. The Great Debate. Billy O'Brien, Dr. D. Pendley. We're talking about the lottery. And I'm not Howard K. Smith. I'm just plain old Joe Postov this morning. You could tell that. You could tell that from the very beginning, couldn't you? All right, let's get to some of the many calls waiting this morning. Hello, you're on Talk Radio.
Good morning, Joe. I have a couple of questions for the doctor, most of which could be answered either yes or no. He made reference earlier to the Wall Street Journal. I am curious as to whether or not he or his church group have any investments in stock on the New York Stock Exchange.
Dr. Pendley?
I've got about six.
Yes or no, doctor, is enough. I'm not prying.
Okay, well, yes or no. Okay.
I got 6 shares of stock that I got when I left an engineering job I had before I went into the ministry.
The point I'm driving at is the New York Stock Exchange, or the stock exchange per se, constitutes one of the biggest gambles ever going, as was demonstrated in 1929.
I'll need you to speak up.
I say the stock exchange demonstrates the biggest, one of the biggest gambles in the world, as demonstrated in 1929 in October. The other question I had was, does he or his church group mount campaigns against all these other churches in and around the Virginia environs which support the raffles and the bingos and things of that sort, which is certainly gambling? And the last and final question is, does he accept contributions from the poor in the Sunday collections? That's all I have to ask.
Okay, address the last two questions. Gambling is gambling, whether it's a state lottery, whether it's a numbers game, whether it's a raffle or a bingo game or a cake sale where you're not sure you're going to get your cake. Gambling is gambling, and if it's wrong, it should be stopped.
What are you saying?
I'm asking you to comment on the proposition. Yes, sir.
I suppose the answer would be yes.
So are you as active, are you as vocal when it comes to raffles and bingo and all the other
forms? We have spoken out against that at the General Assembly, yes.
Do you have raffles at the Methodist Church?
No, we don't.
Okay. All right. The other question, I'm not sure if I remember what that was. All right. We'll move along and go to another call. Good morning. You're on Talk Radio.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I have a problem with people telling me what I can't and can't do. Now, I've listened to you for a long, long time, and I agree to some extent with your liberal views. I can work, I can pay taxes, but I don't have the sense enough to know whether I should buy a lottery ticket or not.
And that's a basic question that we've been pursuing all day.
I know that, and I agree 100% with Mr. O'Brien. Let us vote on it, you know? I mean, if I want to buy a lottery ticket, I will. If not, I won't. Just like shopping on Sunday deal.
Dr. Penley, Billy O'Brien is saying more than anything else, not so much we ought to have a lottery, but that we ought to vote on it. This is a very controversial issue in the state of Virginia, one where people believe vigorously one way or the other. Let's just vote on it.
The reason...
Why won't you allow that?
It's not up to us to allow that.
But
it's up to Billy to allow that.
It's pressure from the anti-lottery groups that is not allowing that.
We really don't wish to see it come to that because, obviously, we think we'll lose the vote. That's obvious.
So you're anti-democratic, then?
No. Why do we think that? Because in the state of California, the lottery industry, Scientific Games of Atlanta, Georgia, subsidiary of Bally Manufacturing, the biggest gambling corporation in the country, pumped in some $1.6 million in order to influence the vote there. All of the promotion, all of the excitement of winning big prizes, people don't know the facts about how destructive. They don't realize that potential losses through bad debts of gambling, compulsive gamblers, can amount to some $300 million in a state such as Pennsylvania, for example.
Dr. Pendley, there's been a lottery debate on radio and TV. There have been a million articles in magazines, newspapers, you name it. And it is very difficult for me to believe that in the state of Virginia there are people that are totally unaware in the way that you're saying about the ramifications of a lottery.
I wonder if people in the state of Virginia know that in Pennsylvania, the television announcer and several other people in their lottery drawing were indicted for rigging the lottery. I wonder how many people have heard things like that.
Does it make any difference?
I think you're correct. They were trying to manipulate it, but they were arrested and they were caught and they were put in jail. If someone embezzles from the bank, you don't shut the bank down.
I can tell you about people in our General Assembly, without mentioning names this morning, that have a lack of understanding of proper ethics. Do we close down Richmond?
No, but we try to write better ethics laws.
All right, let's take another call. Good morning. You're on Talk Radio.
I'd like to address my question to Billy O'Brien. I just heard this gentleman a few calls back addressing that he supported $24 to Pennsylvania, and he's ticketing, and therefore his parents get free 2 and 3 allowances on medical prescriptions.
Do you have a question? We're running real short on time.
This. Will we get this in Virginia after we get the lottery? I think it's controlled by Blue Cross of Pennsylvania, not the lottery.
No, okay. You're mistaken there. Mr. Galenti, a former prisoner of war who's a pharmaceutical lobbyist up in Richmond, indicated to me that it's either $2 or $3, and all senior citizens in Pennsylvania receive all the medication, prescription medication that they need for $2 or $3 a month. I don't know exactly, but he indicated to me he sure wished we had this in Virginia.
Thank you for the call. We're running very short on time. Mr. O'Brien, are you optimistic about the proposition of a lottery in January that it will pass, or at least there will be a referendum very quickly, and then I want to ask Mr. Penley.
Well, I think it's probably, I have a better chance, but I'll just have to wait and see what happens when we get to Richmond.
Dr. Penley, will you ever come to the point where you'll say you are still opposed to a lottery, but that it's a legitimate question, a legitimate thing that it should be put up to a vote?
No.
Why not?
Because
one more time, why not? I mean, what's the matter with the democratic process? What's the matter with the referendum once in a while here in Virginia? I'm no great...
I wonder whether the legislators... one of the things that many people in the state get real concerned about is governmental waste and stuff. I wonder why we don't have a referendum on every issue of spending money that comes before the General Assembly. Why they don't bring their salaries up for a vote, for example.
Do you think the referendum is ever applicable? Do you think the referendum should ever be used?
Sure, I think there's situations where referendums should be used.
Great controversial topic.
We haven't had a referendum in many years.
We have a referendum every three or four. Every constitutional change in the Commonwealth is on a referendum. We got four of them.
Because that's
up.
Mandated.
We're out of time.
We have a referendum.
Hey, continue this outside. We'll see you tomorrow. Dee Penley and Billy O'Brien, thank you so much for being with us. WNIS, Portsmouth, Norfolk. Time at the tone now, 10 a.m. Have yourself a good day.